sound. Welcome to the official podcast of Solar Flight Productions and SolarFlightPro.com. This is the show where we talk about movies, TV shows, and the news. I'm your host, Garrett Ray, and joining me, it's Ian Hackney.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
So let's take care of some house cleaning first.
Yeah.
Because we missed last week.
The elephant in the room?
The very snotty elephant.
Yeah.
So basically what happened, I was super sick, like super duper sick, to the point where I couldn't leave the house to go watch a movie. And it was also like to kind of really hammer home the point of how sick I was. It was my birthday last week and I didn't do anything. On my birthday, I had enough energy to get up and clean the kitchen. And then when my wife got home from work, cause she was also sick, I made her a bowl of cereal.
Yep.
And outside of that, for most of the week, I just sat on the couch and waited for death.
Yeah.
So
sounds about right.
It was pretty horrible. I'm still kind of under the weather, but like, you know how you get to the point where you're not super sick anymore, but it's that long stretch of just being kind of sick?
Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now.
Okay.
And
I have that before I get sick.
Really?
And then I'm just fine. Like the long stretch, like, oh, I'm getting sick, and I'm sick, and then it's gone.
Yeah. I wake up and it's like, I have half a day where I'm kind of like, is this what I think it is? And then I get super duper sick.
Yeah.
And then I'll have a long stretch of just being really congested after.
Yeah.
Like, but my energy's back a little bit more and stuff.
That's good.
But yeah, like if I sound kind of congested, there's a reason for that. It's because I'm congested.
Yeah.
But that will not stop us from bringing you awesome content anymore. So here's what we're doing to make up for it.
Yeah.
As an I'm sorry for me being sick and as a punishment for Ian for being my friend.
For being healthy.
Well, you either join with me or I'll punish you later. That's the rule. We're doing two episodes back-to-back this week. And as a matter of fact, throughout December, there may be one or two more of these because there's so many movies coming out.
So many like big movies.
Yeah. So we're screwed. We'll have no free time or lives. And you guys get to just reap the benefits of that.
What's a life? Let's be honest here.
I have no idea. sitting on a couch waiting until it is all over?
Yeah.
It's been my life for a while, at least. All right, so you want to get into the news?
Let's rock it.
Okay, so Crazy Rich Asians was a big movie here. It was a huge hit. Everyone was like, oh, this movie's incredible. We didn't see it mostly because
it was a comedy.
Comedies are really hard to review.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, it's funny, or no, it's not.
Yeah.
You know. And you can get into story and all that stuff on them. I'm not saying it's impossible to, but at the same time, it's not as much fun.
Yeah.
We've tried it once. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Crazy Rich Asians opened at the Chinese box office. And how do you think it did over there?
I mean, if it's in the Chinese market, it probably did like quadruple what it did here.
Wrong. It opened to 1.2 million.
What?
Seriously. So while Crazy Rich Asians was this is all the news via Screen Rant.
Yeah.
Whatever. While Crazy Rich Asians was a smash success in America, the film earned a mere 1.2 million during its first weekend in China. So Exhibitor Relations was the first to report on the official box office numbers, but there had been much speculation about the film's chance of success in China leading up to its release.
Hmm.
Some industry prognosticators, which is a word that sounds like you're a butt doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do? Oh, I'm a prognosticator.
No.
Like colon inspection?
Do you wear gloves?
But anyway, they predicted that the level of success the movie achieved in America would be unlikely in the Asian market for the exact same reasons that it smashed records domestically. While a film with an entirely Asian cast is refreshing and groundbreaking in the U.S., it's not at all unusual in China, where almost all future films include completely Asian casts.
Oh, yeah. And it's like called Crazy Rich Asians. I can only imagine. That's like a movie coming out from Britain about Americans. Crazy rich Americans.
Or stupid, fat, lazy Americans is what they would probably make.
Yeah.
Britain doesn't like the UK. They're not big fans of the US.
There's not many people that are fans of the US, but you know, whatever.
Huh? It's one of the prices you pay for living in the greatest country in the history of civilization. So Netflix's Marvel shows aren't moving to Disney Plus.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I thought that's why they were all getting canceled.
No. So that's the other big news is that Daredevil was canceled this last week.
I saw that.
Interesting thing because the season 3 released and everyone was like, it's really awesome. People really were digging it. They said it was the best season yet. But that, you have to contrast that with the fact that it actually wasn't getting as many eyeballs as it was previously.
Yeah, like season 1, season 2. Yeah.
Right, so it had dropped off in its popularity even though the content was getting better.
Yeah.
But part of that is probably because Netflix themselves have not been pushing it very hard. Like the Daredevil thing, you know how when they have their biggest release, sometimes it'll be up there for a week or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, normally not much longer because they've got so much stuff
other
coming
stuff
out,
coming out.
But like the Christmas Chronicles, they're pushing really hard. It's always popping up in my feed.
Mm-hmm.
Daredevil hasn't at all.
Nope.
And it used to be like the one thing that always was there. And so yeah, they're not pushing it super hard, especially because with Disney Plus happening in the future, I mean, Netflix and Disney are getting kind of frosty
with each other. Screw you, Marvel.
Right, yeah, it's that attitude. So, Rolling Stone TV critic Alan Sepinwall, which is a great name or a horrible name, I can't decide.
Yeah.
But he's taken to Twitter to discuss the idea of the series being relaunched on Disney Plus. He said, quote, "The execs have already said they don't want these shows on the Disney service," adding, "and even if they did, the nature of the contracts would make it virtually impossible. They're done."
Yeah.
He went on to point out that there's a crucial difference between Marvel Studios and Marvel Entertainment. Behind the scenes, drama led Disney to split those two subsidiaries apart back in 2015. The Disney Plus Marvel shows are all being made by Marvel Studios figures, quote, "who do not like or get along with the Marvel TV execs who made Daredevil at all," end quote. While it's technically possible for Marvel Studios to make a Daredevil series in a few years' time, he suggests that they recast, similar to Sony ditching Andrew Garfield in favor of Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Sepinwall is hardly impressed with the division, referring to it as, quote, "so sad slash hilarious," end quote, but he's also not going to pretend the animosity and conflict isn't there.
Yeah.
So,
it's the world we live in.
Yep. So the thing that interests me about this is, like, if you do recast these things, how long will they wait? Because the other side of this, there's other stuff in the news here about, like, these different Disney Plus titles that are coming out.
Yeah.
Like Scarlet Witch and Vision are getting a series. Loki's getting a series.
Hmm.
So, you know, they're doing all of that stuff.
Yeah.
The question is, how long will they wait before trying to reintroduce Daredevil or whatever? Or do they take him to the big screen? You know, like, what do you think they would do with, you know, characters like Luke Cage?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see them for a long time. There might be some sort of movies with them in the future, but I think we'd see a movie before we saw them back on the small screen.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, because there's this idea of what those shows are like on the small screen that they
have to be like this big reimagining.
Right, yeah.
I can't see anyone else playing Luke Cage, though, but we'll see.
Yeah, then the question is, like, if they really do love one of those actors, you know, and feel like that would translate well to a big screen role, because whether you want to, you know, all acting has some things that go that are the same across the board, but TV shows and movies generally have a very different style of acting. You see more movie stars getting into TV nowadays, but for a long time that wasn't the case. That, you know, if you worked on TV, you did TV, and that was it.
You kept it separate.
But I don't know. Like, there's a different feel definitely to the performances you see in a movie versus on a TV show in a lot of ways. I don't know, maybe that's just me having my head up my own butt, but
yeah,
smells. So you want to talk about the British Film Institute?
British Film Institute. I have no idea what it is, but lay it on me.
Well, they're the British Film Institute.
Okay, okay. Yes. They're in Britain.
Yes, they don't like Americans. no, so the British Film Institute they've come out with a statement basically saying that if you have a movie and it has a villain with a facial scar, we're not going to fund your movie.
Huh. That's weird.
So you want to hear there's a lot more to this story. So basically,
oh, I bet.
The British Film Institute has allied with hashtag I am not your villain, which is a campaign that's, you know, on social media, declaring that it will no longer support movies with scarred villains. Facial scars have become something of a shorthand for villainy in movies, according to Screen Rant. This is conjecture. I do not necessarily agree with it, although I guess that maybe you could make a point, but then facial scars have become something of a shorthand for villainy in movies. From Freddy Krueger to Heath Ledger's Joker to the Lion King's Scar. Aptly named. But UK charity Changing Faces has been endeavoring to beat the stigma of visible scars and their negative associations in the film industry. Changing Faces was founded by Dr. James Partridge in 1992 and provides support for children and adults who have observable differences to their faces, hands, and body that cause them to suffer social stigma and discrimination. The charity has argued that facial scars are being used to signify that characters in movies are evil, and that has contributed to the negative perception of real people with similar scars. The I Am Not Your Villain campaign was launched earlier this month, which I think this actually would make it November, with Changing Faces and the BFI urging those in the film industry to ditch the trope of the scarred villain. In a statement, quote, "Film has such a powerful influence on society, and it enables us to see the world in new ways, enriches lives, and can make a vital contribution to our well-being. It also is a catalyst for change, and that is why we are committing to not having negative representations depicted through scars or facial differences in the films we fund. It's astonishing to think that films have used visible differences as a shorthand for villainy so often and for so long. The time has come for this to stop."
I mean, I get it, but it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, that was my thought too. It's like, yeah. I understand the only people who really look at a facial scar and go, oh, that person is scary, are children. I mean if when you make a snap judgment like that,
yeah,
like when it comes to facial scars, when you're a kid, you go, that person's evil. I can totally see the case for that. But when you're an adult, you go, oh, something went down with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what happened. I mean, maybe that's just me, but I feel like those types of facial scars and stuff, it is a shorthand, especially in kids' movies and things like that. But
yeah,
I think that by the time you're an adult, you have the mental capacity to go, well, I mean, maybe he got thrown into a fence pole off of a bull or something. Like, I live in Texas, so yeah, that's where that comes from. But you know, like, you can think through, like, how that might have happened.
Yeah, I think the world is losing faith in people's mental capabilities, though, so.
Yeah. So, like, the question of should you treat your audience like an idiot?
Yeah.
And, now, I've put stuff on YouTube, and everything that's on YouTube says, yes, I should treat these people like idiots.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude.
All the people who comment, it's very funny.
Did I tell you about the comment I got?
No, you didn't.
It's so bad. it's too long. I can't even talk about it, but we can talk about it after the podcast. Okay. It is terrible. Like, terrible.
Oh, no. I'm laughing, but mostly because I'm nervous about what it could be.
Yeah.
Is it exactly what I think it probably is?
I don't know. Probably not. Long story short, they think I'm a YouTube plant.
What?
Because of my symbol. And that I'm like a lizard person, pretty much. But they made it super long. Like, it was like
three paragraphs. You kind of set yourself up for it, because you call your followers on Twitch the Maluminati. So.
Yeah. I mean, true. But
at the same time, anyone who actually thinks that about you, you play Fortnite for honor and talk to people.
So. Yeah.
Well, in any case, there's a lot of people saying that the British Film Institute's condemnation of villains with facial scars is suppressing creativity. Others, on the other hand, have argued that there's nothing particularly creative about a villain with a scarred face.
Did they just argue the same point?
No. So basically, some people are saying, you can't, if I want a villain with a scarred face and you tell me I can't, then you're
messing with creativity.
You're messing with the thing I've created.
Yeah.
Other people are saying, well, you're not creative if you use a facial scar to make a bad guy.
That's been done. Yeah.
Everything's been done.
True
so
that.
I don't care.
True that.
I don't know, man. This is one of those things, like, I'm not against being sensitive to other people.
Oh, yeah.
And it's totally within the British Film Institute's rights to say, you know what, we're not going to fund something that we don't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any problem with this necessarily. But I also think, like, if you want to say this is wrong, okay, but people are definitely going to tell you that's kind of a stupid thing that you're throwing out there as, like, this is a problem.
Yeah.
And I don't have a ridiculously scarred face. I mean, it's not a great face, but it's not been hideously deformed by getting thrown into a fence post off the back of a bull.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I don't know. I'm torn on this, because on one hand, I'm like, totally within your rights to think this way or whatever. And on the other hand, I'm like, is this that big of a problem that we need a social media campaign about it?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta start somewhere, and like, applaud these people for, you know, sticking up for something or what they believe in. That's always a, you know, an A plus. But imagine the Joker without scars.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, how many people do you actually see with like scars and stuff like that?
Not you don't really not see very many.
And it's because a lot of people like that don't like to go out in public.
Mm-hmm.
So I can kind of see the back and forth here, but
yeah,
we don't live in Great Britain, so
that's true. Yeah, this affects us none.
Not at all.
Interestingly enough, you've got the Mortal Engines movie coming out later this year that has a hero who has a scarred face. Mm-hmm. And they actually pulled back the scarring from what she had in the book.
I remember you told me that.
Like, she didn't have a nose and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, that would be distracting. I'm like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing that I think maybe is like, if you meet someone who has a scar or something like that, don't be a jerk about it.
You know you're talking to the human race, right?
Oh, that's right. You guys are screwed.
Literally, it's the worst.
Yeah.
I hate to be a part of it, but I am.
So I've been on the internet. The internet definitely was a mistake. I've been saying that a lot recently, but yeah. the more I sit and chat on Twitch, and where I'm like,
yeah,
we shouldn't have made this. Except for there are some cool people in chat. I'm not saying that.
But hey, what can you do?
In any case. All right, so Scarlet Witch and Vision. Apparently, there may be the title of their series leaked for Disney Plus. So,
are they together? Like, it's a together thing?
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because maybe. So, new reports suggest that Marvel Studios' upcoming TV series starring Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany will be called Vision and the Scarlet Witch.
Okay.
The short 6-8 episode series is being created exclusively for Disney's upcoming streaming service, Disney Plus, which will launch next year, 2019. According to the latest report from Deadline, Vision does indeed now have co-star billing with Vision and the Scarlet Witch. As a matter of fact, he's got the lead billing on that.
Yeah.
Marvel fans will recognize that title as an allusion to two important arcs from the comic books. In 1982, Bill Mantlo penned a 4-issue miniseries called Vision and the Scarlet Witch, spinning a plot out about their recent marriage. He described them as, quote, the strangest wedded couple in the world, end quote. And indeed, the plot treated them as such. Mantlo's story saw the newlyweds confront everything from Samhain, the spirit of All Hallows' Eve, to Nuklo, a radioactive man with the mind of a child.
Hmm.
I mean, some people just call that the leader of North Korea, but, I mean, Nuklo's fine. Significantly, this even ended with Wanda discovering that she was the daughter of Magneto, the master of magnetism.
Oh.
3 years later, Marvel launched a second limited series entitled Vision and the Scarlet Witch. This saw the couple leave the Avengers after Vision's mind had been corrupted by his creator, Ultron. When the United States government refused to trust him, Scarlet Witch broke him out of Project Pegasus, and the two decided to blaze their own trail as independent vigilantes.
Well, there you go. I mean, it'll be interesting. It'll be good, cool anyways. It's Marvel. I literally don't care about those two characters whatsoever. I know they're supposed to be super strong, but like, nothing about them on screen ever makes me go, ooh, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I like Vision. Scarlet Witch is just kind of like, yeah, she's okay.
Ooh, she does her little hand thing.
Yeah, she does her little hand thing.
She's super strong. It's like, okay.
Yep. Vision is a character interests me more, like this hyper-intelligent person or being, I suppose, looking for what his purpose really is.
Yeah, he reminds me of Mr. Manhattan.
Yeah, kind of.
I like that.
But I don't know. I think this series could possibly go back to before Age of Ultron, or not, I'm sorry, before Infinity War.
Yeah.
Because when we meet up with them in Infinity War, they've been on their own for a while, so they could possibly go out to that, but then they wouldn't be married. So, you know, because in Infinity War, they're talking about that.
About getting married. So.
But yeah, no, I don't know. I'm interested enough, but this is the point where I'm off Marvel Studios stuff. Like, I'm just, they're going into the multiverse. There's going to be all these offshoot stories and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first it was kind of fun because you had the phase one stuff, and then they started doing the one-offs,
yeah,
you know, the little extra stories.
And then there's that, and then there's
But those were like 10-minute shorts. They weren't an 8-part series or whatever. I mean, if it's good, I'll watch it, but
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm not planning to keep up with all of this stuff.
Yeah,
I just,
it's a lot.
I don't have the time in my life.
Yeah, I'm still going back and forth if I'm even going to get the Disney streaming service, so.
I'm married to a woman who loves all the Disney classics, so I will have to. I mean, she is obsessive.
Yeah.
So, alrighty, and I love her. Mm-hmm. It's not a dig on my wife. She can like what she likes.
True that.
Except for that movie, The Princess Switch, on Netflix, which she watched the whole thing of. I'm ashamed of that.
Was it bad?
It was, yes.
Oh, okay.
It had Vanessa Hudgens in it. Horrible film.
Oh, yeah. I saw the previews for that.
Just terrible. Just the worst.
Poor Vanessa Hudgens.
Speaking of the worst, YouTube original shows
are free now.
Yes, they're going to be free. So, according to Variety, the recent decision insinuates a move away from the site's rather brief foray into content available for paying users only. Mostly because when anyone thinks of YouTube, they don't go, yeah, I'll pay for that.
Yeah, even though I pay for it. But someone pays me to pay for it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it well, you use YouTube to play like music on your stream, right? Mm-hmm. So you're basically doing that to get ad free.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, the YouTube premium accounts will no longer serve as the key to YouTube original content. Instead, premium users will maintain the ability to view content earlier than non-paying users while enjoying ad-free and offline viewing. So
that's cool.
The stuff you get, you pay for it for, is still the same.
Yeah. I wonder if the price will go down.
I doubt it.
Yeah, it won't, but...
It's Google.
Yeah, right? Google is a pain, dude. I was trying to do my Google AdSense, and oh my gosh. Anyways.
I'm almost kind of glad they demonetized my account. Although I just recently passed the threshold where I can get it back.
Get the... Yeah.
Yeah, and I can use the community tab now.
Ooh.
When you get 1,000 subscribers, you can use the community tab.
I've never used it.
Haven't posted anything on it.
Yeah. Yep.
But
they're adding stories once you get 10,000 subscribers, and I'm like 1,000 away, which it could be good because I could be like, hey guys, going live on Twitch, you know,
something
stupid like that. I don't know.
I don't like the stories function very much in any of those.
It's
apps.
On everything now.
Yeah, I use it to post ads for this show and stuff, but generally I'm just like, why?
Yeah.
Also, this brings up another point. My sister uses Snapchat all the time.
Oh no.
And there are a few things in this world. And this is a recent development, but there are a few things I hate more than Snapchat. I hate Snapchat.
Oh no!
Because I mean, when you're just like text chatting over it, you get a notification that they're typing, and then a second notification that they've sent the message.
They get the message,
That's so obnoxious.
Yeah,
there's no point.
I don't use Snapchat anymore.
And then, like on top of that, the fact that. If you want to save a message they've sent, you have to tap it to save it.
Yeah.
And then to open it, you have to tap on the notification. It opens Snapchat. Then you tap on the thing. Why wouldn't it take you directly to that chat?
It used to, but now it's all wonky.
It's one of the most infuriating apps that to be popular. I just don't get it.
They're making it adult-proof. Like, it's something you have to use every day to understand.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
I just wish people would go back to making phone calls. But I'm an old grumpy man on the inside.
No more phone calls.
Which is why I don't care about these paid YouTube things. Yeah. Tom Hanks may play Geppetto in Disney's live-action Pinocchio.
Geppetto's the dad?
Yeah, he makes the puppet and then he's like, I wish I had a real boy. And then the...
He can go like, Italian hey, on it.
Real boy.
Yeah.
And I don't remember that movie very well.
Yeah.
I remember being terrified by it, and that's about it.
Yeah, the whole donkey thing scared me.
Oh, gosh, horrible.
Yeah.
Imagine turning into a Democrat. I'm just kidding. So, according to a new report from Collider, it appears Disney is now in the very early stages of trying to get Tom Hanks involved. He's reportedly in talks to join Pinocchio as the film's Geppetto, the toy maker who creates the magical puppet. Yeah. The report stresses that these talks are so early that it is not a guarantee that the deal will be made between Hanks and Disney due to Hanks' lofty salary.
Yeah.
Because he's expensive to get.
He's Tom Hanks.
Which is why it's weird that he was in the circle.
He's Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that's true. Universal's Gears of War movie. Are you excited about this?
No.
Did you ever play Gears of War?
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite game series.
Oh, really?
Did you know it was published by Epic Games?
Mm-hmm. The same people who did Fortnite?
Fortnite, yeah. Yep. I did not know that until recently.
Do they? Epic creates their own game engines, right?
Yeah, they have Unreal Engine.
That's what it is, right. Yeah.
Yep. I don't know. It's a really interesting story, 1, 2, and 3. And then after that, it goes to absolute poop.
Yeah, like so, the one with his son and all
that.
Yeah,
when it gets to his son and like the new generation of Gears. It's just bad.
Yeah.
But 1 and 2, especially 2, is so good.
Mm. That's the one I've heard everyone's like, this is the best one in the series. Yeah,
the story from 2, it brought tears to my eyes, man. So good.
That's good. Well, I hope you are excited to watch the movie that they do from this, that they have hired the writer from XXX 3 for.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Look, I mean, writing movies is hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredibly hard. And I have written 2 this year, and that was in the first like 4 or 5 months of the year, and the rest of the year I've just been struggling with these 2 ideas and can't get it worked out.
Yeah.
And so like I do actually know how difficult this is. That said, I don't think any of the movies that this guy has written have been super duper praised.
Yeah.
The Rapoport screenwriter F. Scott Fraser has now been hired by Universal to pen the screenplay for Gears of War. Fraser's most recent credit is the threequel to Vin Diesel's franchise XXX, Return of Xander Cage, which is just a dumb movie name.
It came out in like 2010, didn't it?
No, it came out right when we started this podcast, actually.
Oh, okay. Because
it was one of the ones that was like coming in the theater, and I went, we're not watching that.
Okay.
His filmography also includes the Felicity Jones and Nicholas Holt action film Collide, which I don't remember anyone ever talking about. And then the John Cusack and Malin Ackerman action thriller The Number Station. So
nope.
I don't know. Like it's not stuff that I've heard sticks. Good things about or things about at all.
Yeah.
That's not to say he's a bad writer. I'm just saying like. You gotta really go after like the writers who can really sell movies if you want people in seats for a
video game movie. Yeah,
it's already such a thin line you're walking on.
Yeah, we don't like leaving the house.
Right.
If it was
made
for Netflix, we'd be all over that.
Yeah.
But on the big screen, nope. And there goes my keys.
Yeah, he dropped his keys, everybody. So if you want to come into the studio, because we're going to be here for 4.5 days recording these 2 podcasts, you can come in and grab his keys. So, all right, Hugh Jackman says he'd be open to playing another superhero.
Just not Wolverine?
Just not Wolverine.
I can see how he's tired of it. Like, I really can.
Yeah.
But another superhero? I just go... something completely left field.
Why is Wolverine doing this? I mean, he did a political movie, The Front Runner.
Yeah, like I can see him and stuff like that.
And then he did Real Steel.
I don't know what that is.
It's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, but
bigger,
life sized.
Okay.
And his sons, I guess. Oh, Dad, I wish you loved me.
I know that movie. Yeah. I didn't know that was Hugh Jackman. He had short hair in that one.
It was okay.
Yeah,
it was about it. I don't remember very much about it. But
what could you see Hugh Jackman playing?
I have no idea.
Are there any?
I would just see Wolverine.
As long as it's not in any DC movies or X-Men movies, yeah, I guess it's fine.
Actually, I think him being in a DC movie would be the best thing possible.
Yeah, probably
because it would still be bad, but we would still go, yeah, we liked Hugh Jackman, though.
Hugh Jackman did good, though.
So MTV interviewed Jackman as part of the promotional tour for The Front Runner, and they had to ask him about his superhero days, because no one can let anything go.
Duh.
Since his days as Wolverine are behind him, it would take a new role to bring him back to the genre. And for those who want to see this happen, Jackman said that he's open to the idea, saying, quote, oh yeah, I'd be open to that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, I never saw it as a superhero. Even when I got Logan and I didn't know much about the X-Men series or comic book series, I was like, these are great characters.
Yeah.
All of these people are flawed characters. Sure, they have extraordinary abilities, right, but they are really flawed, and that's what the movie's about. That's why people relate to it.
Yeah.
So.
True that.
Who would be the most flawed character you can think of, since you're Mr. DC over here?
I'm not Mr. DC.
I mean, compared to me, you're more apologetic for them.
I can't. I mean, I can't think of anything.
I can't either.
Mm-mm.
Luke Cage, maybe?
No.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the first segment of news, which means it's time for everyone's second favorite segment on this show.
Ryan Johnson
Explains.
I'm ready.
Explain.
Ryan Johnson.
So, Star
Anakin
Wars.
Anakin movie.
Whoop. Anakin movie. No, we had 3 of those. You saw how that turned out.
Hey, I loved it.
I mean, I still love them, but I love them because they're part of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the political espionage is quite genius in that movie, that series.
I never knew who was the good guy or the bad guy.
I mean, Obi-Wan's always the good guy.
I was on Anakin's side for most of it until he killed the kids.
You fool! So the Rogue One spinoff sets the producer from The American, Stephen Schiff, as a showrunner. So basically, they're doing the spinoff about Cassian Andor from Rogue One. And
you didn't they die?
Yes, but they're going back before that.
Stop.
I'm not doing it.
Stop, Rian Johnson. Or whoever that girl is in charge.
Kathleen Kennedy.
Stop, Kathleen Kennedy. What's wrong with you?
They just renewed her contract. She won't stop. She'll never stop. Can't stop, won't stop. No, can't stop this. So the outlet Deadline also notes that Lucasfilm is in the process of recruiting a writing team. It's expected that the Cassian show will commence filming at some point next year. One of the few things that fans do know about the Cassian series is that it will lean heavily on espionage elements, since he's basically a spy, chronicling the intelligence officer's time in the fledgling rebellion. The Americans, of course, utilizes that genre exceptionally well. This is all conjecture from Screen Rant. I've never seen it. I don't know. Winning multiple primetime Emmys, so I guess it's probably okay, over the course of its acclaimed run.
Yeah.
During his time in The American, Schiff was part of a group nominated for Outstanding Drama Series twice, so hopefully his sensibilities translate well into the galaxy far, far away.
Boo.
I might watch this.
I mean, yeah, it's the only reason I'm not on board about it is because I feel like they're like, what was the last good one we made?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just go off of that.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like.
And Rogue One is not my favorite Star Wars movie, really. I seriously think that the main character is the most boring main character they've ever had in a Star Wars movie.
That was it, the guy or the girl?
Jyn Erso, the girl. Played by Felicity Jones.
Honestly, I can't even remember because she was pretty boring.
Exactly. Like, she doesn't have... I watched a video about this last week about why Rey is interesting. I think it was Lessons from the Screenplay, the YouTube channel.
Yeah,
Lessons from the Screenplay. Why Jyn Erso is not interesting and Rey is. Like, why we're invested in Rey in ways we're not in Jyn. And it's hits the nail on the head. It explains exactly why. If you want to learn more about screenwriting and just kind of like general ideas, Lessons from the Screenplay is a great YouTube channel.
Okay.
But yeah, they
need to leave them dead.
They did do more with Cassian's character. Like, he's more interesting in the film.
Yeah.
And Diego Luna, I believe is his name. He's a great actor. Like, I really like him. So I'm interested in this, in seeing like what if we see him at the point where he's willing to shoot someone else who might give away information to the Empire at the beginning of Rogue One. How does he get to that point? How much of that stuff has he done? How does that weigh on him? Like, that, I think those are interesting ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it also could be bad.
Yeah, the only reason I was really okay with Rogue One was because it was like a prequel to like a well-known like event,
right?
So it's just like, you all know this, but this is this. Okay, so now it's a prequel to a prequel well-known event characters that are kind of important. Well, I guess it's all about it goes back to the Republic and all that stuff, but yeah. I don't know.
If it's very character-driven, then I'm on board. If it's about the rebellion itself more than it is about Cassian, then I'm not going to be interested.
I literally can like see this movie already. It's just like, oh, we have a problem. We go to two different planets or three different planets.
Well, it's a TV series though, so they can do some other stuff with it. Oh,
okay, I'm okay with that then. I thought it was a movie.
Yeah, no, it's for the Disney Plus.
Okay, cool.
Along with The Mandalorian, which we have some news about.
Ooh, that's interesting.
This is one you are interested in. Okay.
Yeah, I love Mandalorian.
So, according to The Hollywood Reporter, Nick Nolte has been cast in The Mandalorian. We don't know what his role is or anything, but I'm going to make a wild guess right now and say that he's going to play someone who's drunk a lot because it's Nick Nolte.
He'll probably be Darth Plagueis.
Darth Plagueis, the drunk?
Yeah. He was. That's how he died. Just saying.
That's true.
Died drunk.
But, I mean, The Mandalorian, I think, is taking place during the original trilogy time period. I could be wrong about that. I think I saw something about that. But,
yeah.
But, you know, he could be an old bounty hunter or something like that. That's probably what he'll be.
Yeah.
A washed-up bounty hunter that no one really listens to anymore, but our main character ends up entangled with him. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he will most definitely sound like he's been drinking at the very least. All right, so here's an interesting bit of news. Disney has recast every person from the original Star Wars trio. So Luke, Leia, and Han, they've all been recast. We know about Alden Ehrenreich because they made a whole movie. I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if anyone did.
Wait, honestly. Isn't Leia dead?
Well, no. I mean, the actress, Carrie Fisher, has died, yes. But they recast younger versions of all of them at some point or another.
I completely forgot what recast meant. I thought you meant they recast them again. what I'm saying? Like, oh, we cast the same people again.
No. Okay. They recasted different people as the younger versions of the people who are now old.
Yeah, if it's going to be on a TV show, they have to.
Well, maybe. So that's the question. So basically, we know who replaced Han, Alden Ehrenreich. Then you have Leia, who was played by, let me see, I've got her name here. Norwegian actress Ingvild Deila.
There you go, Ingvild.
Ingvild.
Sorry. Ingvild?
Ingvild.
I don't know about that one, Ingvild.
She played Leia in the film Rogue One, chosen because of her ability to replicate a 19-year-old Carrie Fisher. So, as well as her similarity to the character in height, body type, and profile to the actor, Deila spent months studying Fisher's facial expressions. I'm really struggling with this sentence. Working hard to mimic her precisely, and then acted out the very brief scene where it says, "This will give us hope."
Yeah.
And the most overused word in any any movie, Rogue One, the word hope. Ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that basically she said that she wouldn't have done it if Carrie Fisher had always passed away, but now she's like, I'd be happy to do it again as long as I had the blessing of the Fisher family. So
yeah,
there's a possibility that she could come back. Then there's young Han Solo, played by Alden Ehrenreich in Solo, A Star Wars Story. And then you've got a guy who originally was going to play a young Luke in Rey's flashback in Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah.
So Robert Bolter is this guy's name, and there's a picture that leaked of this guy basically dressed up as a battle-scarred Luke, looks like, from Episode 5.
Yeah.
And I'm showing you in the picture now, but you can look this up online. Just look up recast Luke.
I mean, it'll have to work, I guess. He seems kind of chunky.
Or maybe he's got a weird
Shape to him.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to say he's got a weird shaped head, but he does have a weird shaped head.
Look at his stomach. It's sticking out. Luke wasn't fat.
I know. That looks more like me.
Yeah, Luke was skinny. He was a little skinny. And his hair was shaggy, but it was a short shaggy.
Yeah, it wasn't quite this long.
That's like a...
But yeah, you can look up... just look up Ray's Force Vision Robert Bolter, and it's spelled B-O-U-L-T-E-R if you want to see this. But yeah, like he doesn't look like Luke.
No.
Alden Ehrenreich looks more like a young Han Solo than this guy looks like a young Luke.
And that's saying something.
This guy looks like Freddie Prinze Jr. got beat up in an alley.
Yeah. You know what it is? He has way too much cheek definition and his face is too long.
Yeah.
Luke had a very small, compact face. It was like all right there.
He has a little head.
Yeah.
But alas. But yeah, so basically they filmed him actually for The Force Awakens, and then they cut him out of Rey's Force flashbacks. Yeah. So now the question is, will they do like an actual spinoff film, or would this be like a TV series?
Probably a TV series if it's on Disney. They got to milk everything out.
Would it be good?
I mean, it's Star Wars, though.
So no, at this point.
Well, that used to mean something.
Yeah, it used
it's
to.
It's Star Wars, so of course, but now...
Like, even the Clone Wars series, which started out with a terrible movie, got good as it went on, good. But, like, the Star Wars movies we've been getting have been getting worse.
True, yeah. Much, much worse.
Like, The Force Awakens was... I still stand by that one as going, it felt like a Star Wars film.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked it and had fun, and then Rogue One came out, and I was like, it's a different take, you know, it's more of a war movie. Yeah, whatever. The main character was uninteresting. Yeah. And then The Last Jedi comes out, I was like, oh, no.
The Last Jedi was bad.
And then Han Solo came out, and I was like, oh, no.
I couldn't even finish that movie.
It's really not fun.
I could not finish it.
Well, too bad. You missed the Darth Maul reveal at the end. Darth Maul's still alive.
I mean, I already knew he was still alive, but I didn't know he was at the end of that movie. That's cool.
It's my least favorite part of that movie and of the Clone Wars TV series.
Darth Maul just doesn't die, bro. Those robot legs.
Just let him die.
Heck,
he got cut in half.
Yeah, he got some robot legs.
Jeez. All right, so that brings us to the end of everyone's second favorite segment, Rian Johnson Explains.
Later, Rian.
Means now, goodbye. Which means now it's time to ask the all-important, all-encompassing question. what the heck is going on at DC?
Music to my ears.
Not a lot this week.
No.
Sorry, I'm sorry. But let's talk about Margot Robbie, because Margot Robbie really, really, really wants to make out with someone playing Poison Ivy. So Harley and Poison Ivy's first cinematic encounter doesn't look to be coming in Birds of Prey, because it's not. But Robbie wants it to happen soon. During an interview with Pride Source...
Wait. You said her coming out?
No. Harley and Poison Ivy's first cinematic encounter doesn't look to be coming in Birds of Prey.
Okay, got it.
But Robbie wants it to happen soon, but also, yes, that. So she was talking with Pride Source, and Robbie was asked if she was aware of Harley's sexuality in DC Comics, particularly the romantic relationship between Harley and Poison Ivy. This is what she said. Yeah, if you read the comics, you know Poison Ivy and Harley have an intimate relationship. In some comics, they convey it as a friendship. In other comics, you see that they're actually involved as a couple, protecting the young ears in the audience.
Yeah.
I would do that even if it were not two women.
Yeah.
But yeah, she said, I've been trying to, you know, I would love to have Poison Ivy thrown into the universe because Harley and Poison Ivy relationship is one of my favorite aspects of the comics, so I'm looking to explore that on screen. And everyone else is going, just fight a bad guy.
Yeah, I don't see that being good.
It will happen.
Oh, I know it'll happen, but it's going to be an afterthought.
Right, yeah. It won't be done well.
It's going to be an afterthought.
It won't be like actually developing a relationship. It'll just be like, look how good we are.
Yeah, it's going to be like, yo, look, in the middle of this epic battle, and they just like kiss or something.
Right, yeah.
And then the movie continues, and you're just like, what?
Before I die, I can't live with this lie anymore.
And that'll be it.
Yep.
Hey, that's the negative in me. Maybe it'll be good.
It's very rare to see that in you.
It is.
But when it does come out, that's when I know, yeah, this is probably right.
Yeah, because
you're kind of my litmus test. If you think something will be bad, I'll go, oh, then it must be horrible.
I've been wrong before, though, so.
I can't recall a time.
I'm not wrong often.
Not really. Your predictive powers astound me and all people around the world.
Well, if the world wasn't so freaking repetitive, maybe it wouldn't be so predictive. Do something new. Jeez,
Nothing new under the sun, Ian. It's all done.
I know.
Sorry. Except for good DC movies. That hasn't been done. Well, DCEU movies, sorry.
You know who I want to see? Static Shock.
Dude, I loved Static Shock as a kid.
Me too.
Shock. I said shot, but I meant shock.
Static Shock, yeah.
Yeah, no, he was a lot of fun. That cartoon was great. Mm-hmm. I really loved that.
Anyways.
I think they're in development on that in some way. I think we've talked about that once.
Yeah, I saw, and it was like an older version of Static Shock, but he was like a featured hero, not like the main hero. Like,
yeah.
He just like showed up in someone else's story, and he was like older, if I remember reading correctly. But he could be just like Spider-Man, dude. Teenager? No, whatever.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like, but alas.
Oh, well. Well, start the campaign, hashtag Ian for Static Shock.
Yeah.
Let's get this rolling, all 34 of the people who listen to the show.
Woo.
All right, so 90% of Aquaman movie is going to be in the aspect ratio, says James Wan.
What's that mean?
So IMAX is really tall.
Yeah.
And basically someone was like, how much did you shoot in IMAX? And he said, roughly 90%, nearly the whole movie, seriously. I was on Twitter.
So it's a square?
Most of it.
Okay.
Like, not quite a square, but
closer
to a square.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere it's projected will be like that, according to what I read. So we'll find out.
Whatever. I mean, they were doing super close-ups, so it'll just be big squares of people's faces.
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't know, man. Like, and maybe this is because I'm not as great of a filmmaker as I could be, but I don't like IMAX's aspect ratio.
It's nasty.
Honestly, like, I like the wider frame. There's something about that to me that feels
more HD.
Well, not so much HD as like it feels dramatic. It feels more
like
more cinematic.
You're like in the
for
moment.
Lack of a better frame phrase. But yeah, like I just like the fact that there's not all this height above it. Because when I look at you, I can see clear to the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
even when my eyes are locked on your eyes.
True that.
As they often are. because but it's like, but that right there is just a bunch of wasted room, and I don't like that very much. And even if I was to reach over under your seat and press the button to make your chair go up and you were almost sitting at the ceiling, then I would just be looking up at you but still seeing the floor. So there's all this wasted room below you. And that's not exactly how lenses work, but you know. I don't know, I just like when things are focused in a little more, I guess.
Is she- You know, like in a game when you're like playing and then the cutscene starts and then the black bars come down and like cuts in. Yeah, it's it literally means, or it literally relates to more cinematic feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that focus on this is important.
Yeah, like here we go.
Yep.
And if the whole movie's like that, it's like here we go.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and right, then
from the get-go.
When you've the other thing that this will do is there will be some stuff that's not in IMAX aspect ratio, so the bars will pop in and out.
Yep.
And if you've only ever 10%. Watched Transformers 4, that is, it is my least favorite thing in the world when the aspect ratio changes in the middle of something.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like if it transitions from one aspect ratio to another, like that is cool. That makes sense. Yeah. But like when it's just popping in and out,
yeah,
that it distracts me like nobody's business.
Yeah, I can see that.
But we'll see what happens when we have to do this and Bumblebee back to back in a double feature. They come out on the same freaking weekend.
Oh, baby.
My mom was like, you don't have to watch Bumblebee. You can just ignore the Transformers movies. I was like, Mom, our show is on the internet.
Bumblebee's going to be bad.
We have to watch it.
Did you see the extended trailer?
No, I didn't.
It's so bad.
Oh, no. That's a shame, because I really like that director, Kubo and the Two Strings, is awesome.
Kubo and the Two Strings is awesome, but they're going a route where... Bumblebee's just all out rogue, enemy of everybody. You didn't see it where like
really?
Where the what do they call it? Decepticons, they came to the humans to find Bumblebee and they're like, this is a fugitive from our planet. Help us find him or we'll destroy the Earth or something like that. So it's pretty much Bumblebee versus the world.
Well, that's a case of, but that's not him like deciding, oh, I'm going to fight the humans too because I don't like anybody, so much as it is just I have to defend myself so I don't
oh,
die.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't mean it like he's attacking the world, but it's just like I saw that and I was like, this is going to be kind of gimmicky, isn't it? I can sense the gimmick.
Well, it is a Transformers movie.
Yeah. Hey, well.
I'm getting a phone call, so we'll be right back. The good news is that phone call came right when we had finished up with all the DC news.
Yeah.
And had just started talking about Bumblebee. So, all right. That brings us to the end of everyone's favorite segment. What the heck is going on at DC?
Not any Joker movie news.
No. There was one little bit of Joker news.
What was it?
He was in a cemetery in a picture.
And I'm done.
Okay. All right. So, that means it's time to talk about our sponsor. Big thank you to Grand Avenue Theater for sponsoring this show. Mm-hmm. Clean, courteous, classy. That is the name of the game for them, and they definitely live up to that motto. It is really clean. All the people there are super courteous. They are willing to help you out, and I've been treated well there, and yeah. I appreciate that. Like, because I'm a human being too, you know.
It's nice to be treated like a human being,
even as a straight white male. But
in America,
I'm so cute. But like the classy part of it, it's one of those intangible things you can't really describe why it is that, except that when you walk in, you just go, "Oh, this is nice."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't feel like a chain.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like this machine pumping out this thing, you know?
Exactly. It's not like in the corner of a mall.
Well, yeah, also that.
Yeah.
we really love it there. They have a full service kitchen. You can get actual food there. Try their chicken nuggets, dead gummit.
They're great.
And let's start another hashtag 10-piece for Grand Avenue, because we need a 10-piece chicken nugget.
You will not eat all of those nuggets.
I did.
Oh,
I ordered two once.
Oh,
I spent way too much money.
I'm so sorry.
And I ate all the chicken nuggets and almost all the fries, but it was too many fries.
Yeah, the fries is what does it for me,
but it
too.
Was a full serving of fries on mm-hmm. both plates.
Exactly. You're crazy.
I mean, I'm also quite fat, which we'll get into that other thing that we're going to talk about. But, but yeah, so clean, courteous, classy. Unlike my body, Grand Avenue Theater.
You can only deal with that self-loathing for so long, man.
I
do some crunches.
I'm not all right. So now that the ad space is over. You can get your tickets at grandavenuetheater.com. There we go. Now it's over. I have quit Dr. Pepper.
Oh.
So when.
No way.
Really. We went to dinner the other night to celebrate my birthday after I wasn't feeling quite so ill.
Yeah.
And I had 3 Dr. Peppers like in a glass.
They
and
were
I was,
quick, dude.
I was just slurping them down. And I.
It's easy.
It is. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. 23 flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsor this podcast, Edgummit. But like,
please don't.
anyone who knows me knows my love of Dr. Pepper is basically all anyone knows about me. Really, like most of my extended family, they know I like Star Wars and I like Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. So I get Star Wars and Dr. Pepper shirts all the time.
Yeah,
I'm just like, I can't wear things with logos on them.
Yeah,
because of what I do. Like, mm-hmm. if you're seen in a picture on set, no logos, nothing.
Yeah,
right? But. So I'm only 3 days in. Like, this has not been a long running thing, it's but
nice. just keep water by you. That's the easiest.
I've been drinking water and tea.
There
and
you go.
It sucks.
The best thing to do is to find a juice. I'm an apple juice guy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I love crayon apple juice.
Just get it.
And I have a big bottle in there, mm-hmm. but for some reason, crayon apple juice, every other bottle I get is like bad. Too tart and it's not mixed properly.
Yeah, you can't get stuff like that.
Yeah, so I'm going to...
You can, but you shouldn't.
You can, but you're just gambling. So I'm going to... I'm actually, this time I'm mad enough about it. I'm going to call the number on the bottle and be like, I am not satisfied with this product. Do because it. I spent $6 for a bottle of juice and dadgummit, I want it to taste right.
Yeah, it's so weird. Never mind, but I don't want to get into how juice is made, but you'd think it was pre-mixed.
Please do, on this movie podcast show. but it's been rough. Like, I've got lemonade as well, but it's just, it's not, you know, it doesn't have the fizziness, but I've tried those, I think it's called stevia drinks or something like that.
No, just try They're to get horrid. Away from the fizz altogether, yeah. because nothing replaces it.
Yeah.
Nothing replaces it.
Makes me very sad. I went, last night, we got Freddy's, and I had to like stop myself from going to the soda machine and get tea instead.
Yeah.
Like it's weird to have this. I've talked about this being an actual addiction on the show.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I was joking, but no, seriously, I think
you can. Yeah. No.
I think that's where I've been.
It gets easier. And it's just like, you can have one every once in a while, but you just got to be careful. Cause when you drink one, you're like, and I'm back.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean,
especially me.
Yeah.
With an addictive personality.
So, I mean, that's awesome, dude. Keep it. Like, honestly, if you could do this for like 3 months, you'll notice a difference.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it makes a difference in my body.
Yeah. Just the best thing to do is keep track of it, like, hardcore.
Yeah.
Because then you're not like, has it been a week? Has it been 2 weeks? And you're like, no, it's been 27 days. Great. Now I just need 42 more
it's
days.
It's been 127 whatever. Hours. I've cut my arm off.
Yeah.
Trying because it was reaching for the soda machine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I don't even have them in the house, so.
Hey, there you go.
So be praying for me because
in the chat.
I'm not doing okay.
As long as you're not getting caffeine headaches.
Weirdly, no. I mean, I've tried to quit before and I've gotten them really bad, but like mm-hmm. this time, I think it's also because I'm on tons of medication for being sick.
Yeah, so that, like, that helps.
I already feel crap anyway. Mm-hmm. So, all right, that means now that we've talked about my addiction and my personal matters are out of the way for another week, we can talk about this week's movie. Do you want to introduce it or should I?
All right, guys, we are about to get ready to rumble with Creed 2.
I mean, you could have tried a little harder, but all right.
All I got. I have to save my vocal cords, okay?
That's right, you do, because you streamed 5 hours last night, and then we have to do like 5 hours of this.
And then I'm doing...
This should not be 5 hours, just to clarify. all right, so Creed 2. This is a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It stars people.
Mm-hmm.
It has plot.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something I can say for this that I can't say for some other things I've watched recently. But
true.
But yeah, so let's talk about Creed 2. Good, bad, great, or terrible. Where are you sitting, Ian? These are deciding noises, for those of you wondering.
I have two different... like aspects.
Okay.
When it comes to the actual story, good.
Okay.
When it comes to how the movie makes me feel, great.
Okay, I'm in the same camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, while I'm sitting there watching it, I was going, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And now looking back, because this is the first time in a long time that we've watched a movie and waited a couple of days to record.
Yeah.
I don't remember it super vividly like I have some other films. Like, like with Beautiful Boy, that thing stuck in my brain.
Oh yeah,
that's. But this one, not so much. And it's on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's got like an 82 mm-hmm. overall, which is good. But you know what people have said is like basically, yeah, it's good. And then one guy is like, it's buried under a blanket of cliches.
Yeah.
Which and is yes, just it Sylvester is.
Stallone.
Well, right, but yeah, it's a Rocky movie.
Yeah, that's and what they are.
I am a sucker for a Rocky movie. Yeah. So putting all my biases on the table, I freaking love Rocky.
Yeah.
Except for Rocky V, when I'm talking about that one. But like I don't even really remember what Rocky V is all about. I just remember my dad and I watched it together once, and he was like, "I don't like that one very much." Mm-hmm. But anyway, like I love the underdog story. Like it is the quintessential underdog franchise.
Yeah.
And but it also takes it to the point where, you know, what does success do to you, and mm-hmm. you know, having to be brought back down. So like there's good, really good themes in there. And they I like this one and its themes of family and mm-hmm. the like the importance of that and the importance of building a legacy for yourself and,
yeah.
and I think the Rocky series definitely speaks to men more than it does to women, I think.
110%.
And so, like, you know, I know, like, my wife probably wouldn't have the same reaction to it that I would. She didn't get to go with us, though, so unfortunately.
No. Women
your wife got to go. What did she think?
She liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, shirtless guys.
Right, yeah. especially these guys, they're huge.
They are, man. It makes you feel so small.
I thought my belly was big, and then I looked at Ivan Drago's.
I know, right?
Bicep.
I was walking around with my chest poked out for like 2 days after this.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah,
it's a testosterone booster. That's What's for up? Sure. but yeah, no, I think it's. I think that it's well made. The director of this, he hasn't directed a lot of stuff that I know super well.
Mm-hmm.
Or at all. So his name is Stephen Caple Jr.
Okay.
He's known for something called The Land. I really don't know anything about it.
No.
But I think that this does a good job of following up on like the visual style of Creed.
Yeah.
And continuing that. The major difference would be that like if you're expecting the big one-shot boxing matches that you got in Creed,
yeah,
they don't do that. There's a lot more cutting in this yeah. one, but
they have to because that guy is huge.
Yeah,
there's no actual fight going on there.
No.
There is no actual fight.
That's true. but yeah, no, I really like it. I think, look, my biased opinion, it's great. Please yeah. go watch it. I really loved it.
Oh yeah.
My critical brain. Or the critical part of my brain, which is just a smaller brain inside my brain,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to over-explain. That part of my brain says there's some stuff in there that's like, that's kind of stupid. I wouldn't do that. Mm. But just kidding. But like, there are some parts in it that feel kind of a little weak,
yeah.
Story-wise, and it's just like, okay,
yeah,
you know. But yeah, no, I guess let's go to what our audience said about this. So I actually remembered to do the audience poll this week.
Ooh.
So everyone audience. Clap for me, please, because it's been very difficult for me to remember to do.
Make sure you follow Solar Flight Pro on Twitter, guys.
Yeah, but if you want to get the polls, you have to go to Roll Sound Pod.
Make sure you follow Roll Sound Pod on Twitter, guys.
But yeah, so as far as Creed 2 goes, it got 57% good and 43% great. So
yeah.
People so- like it.
Yeah, it's good and great.
It's a good movie. It's not perfect.
It's not perfect, but if you need some motivation, man.
Right, yeah.
Hey,
I was able to quit Dr. Pepper for 3 days after
exactly,
this.
Exactly, right? I just can't go to the gym. Watch Creed 2.
Yeah, yeah. Like I've got to go to the gym now. I can't look like this anymore.
I mean,
I need to sculpt this mound of putty I've turned into.
I used to be pretty freaking good looking, right? Like body wise, but I was never like I worked out for 2 years straight, and I'd never get like that.
Yeah, but to be fair, you've also got to keep in mind these guys literally for months their only job is to work out all day.
Yeah, and like they have personal nutritionists, they eat like nothing,
and then they get dehydrated right before they shoot so that they're as defined as possible because their skin's like
yeah,
like a raisin.
True, true, true.
Yeah. So, all right, you want to get into spoilers? We've done spoiler-free, so spoiler-free.
Spoilers coming at you.
All right, here we go. So, the movie sets up this kind of, like, you know, he's on top of the world. Mm-hmm. He's won. There's nowhere to go from here. But then the curveball gets thrown at him that Ivan Drago's son Victor is challenging him. Well, and it's not even set up by Victor. It's set up by this sports promoter.
Yeah.
Who gets severely. They treat him like he's a big part of this, but he's not.
He gets drowned out, but he's always there.
Right, yeah. I think that's one of my few complaints about the movie. It's just like, what's his motivation for it? It's just the money? Okay, but then why show him in the end at all at the boxing match?
Yeah, he says it's not for money.
Yeah, he says this is to create your legacy.
Yeah, nothing else ever really shows up.
Does he actually care? It doesn't tell us.
Well, I think what goes on with that... And what he says is like everybody wants to see this, so he could just be someone who just really wants to see this unfold.
Right. Yeah.
You know, some people just want to watch the world burn type of thing.
You know. Well, the thing that gets me is in the end when Creed, look, spoilers, Creed wins in the end. But
wow, like,
when you get we're in spoilers. but when that happens, or he's in the middle of like starting to turn the tide, and they cut away to the promoter for one shot. And I'm just there's no point.
Mm-hmm.
We're not completing a story with him or anything. He's just there.
Mm-hmm. He's there and he's clapping for Creed now.
And this is the dad from The Hate U Give.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same actor. He's good. I really like him.
Yeah, he does a solid job. He's got that demeanor.
Yeah.
And that voice.
He's got swagger. That's for sure. Yeah. Which I will get once I've quit my drugs and gone to the gym a couple times. But yeah, no, that's the weakest part of the film in my mind critically, like just because it sets it up as this is a person we're supposed to like feel as a threat or something.
Yeah.
But he never really has any purpose outside of setting that up. He could have just been that one scene where the promoter shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see him on TV a couple times, but those extra little shots of him, that makes it feel like it wanted to do something that it couldn't.
Yeah,
with him,
I can sense that, because I mean, he was always kind of just in the crowd,
right? Yeah,
yeah. Whew, yeah. What did you think about the opening scene?
Which opening scene? The one with them training and then the first fight?
No, the opening scene was. Victor Drago and him waking up his son and like punching him, because like you see people wake up, and you know the movie's called Creed 2, and I thought it was really interesting they started the movie with Drago.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I said it in the wrong way.
Oh no, yeah.
Well, because do they show him fight someone right before they roll credits and then go to Creed?
No, I think it's
just
him waking up and then Creed waking up. And then him going to a fight, and then Creed going to a fight. And it's just kind of like showing the two different worlds.
And that's something I wrote down, is like they because of, thank you for reminding me. Mm-hmm. Because of that intercutting and stuff, they establish like the different places that those two characters are in. Mm-hmm. And you know, when Rocky says this guy was raised in hate,
yeah,
like you just see that.
Yeah.
And then they establish how. He's so much stronger than Creed.
Mm-hmm.
While Creed is on top of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, no, there's another guy out there that will kick your butt and you can do nothing about it.
There's always somebody faster.
Always. Always. Good little sizzle for the next episode.
Yeah.
Yes, but I liked that a lot. Like, that opening sequence was great. I think that throughout the movie, they do a really good job of showing the brutality of Drago.
Yeah.
That all works really well for me. Like, I like the way that the fight scenes are shot.
Mm-hmm.
Someone on Rotten Tomatoes, I forget who it was, but they said basically, like, there's so many angles in it, you'll basically feel like you're getting beat up.
Yeah, right.
But no, if you want to see something that, like, really is too many freaking angles, watch the opening boxing match or, like, mixed martial arts match in Tomb Raider, which is just unintelligible garbled mess.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
I felt like it was well edited.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really stuff in here that I don't.
Yeah, this was solid.
That I thought was like, why would you make that choice? You know, that mm-hmm. that type of stuff that I get with some movies.
What made it so good is they kept it up throughout the entire movie. They weren't like cutting back and forth at the beginning and then just like focus only on Creed. Like, even upcoming to the big fight, they were still going back and forth.
Right,
you know, Drago's got his big gym now, and now Creed's, you know, out in the desert, you know, with the ragtags. did you sense like that switch almost? Because Creed was on top of the world at the first time, but this time,
oh yeah, yeah,
Drago was on top of the world, and Creed was kind of, you know, at the rundown places. So right. I thought that was interesting how they kind of switched it up.
Right. Yeah, and like having to, I like that they got to the point where Drago and Creed were fighting early on in the movie.
Yeah.
Because when I saw that, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
This is a great way to break him down.
Mm-hmm, like something's going, like something bad or good, or you really don't know what's going to happen. You assume it's going right. to be bad though.
Yeah.
But.
And it also kind of mirrors the journey that Apollo Creed had in the original, where he beat Rocky, but everyone was saying he didn't deserve to beat Rocky. Like he had not actually won the fight. And that's why in Rocky II, they rematch.
They rematch. Yeah.
And like that. So, you know, mirroring his father's journey, but it now is in a completely different light, and it is his journey. It's not just him following in his father's footsteps.
Yeah.
So I really liked the storyline in this. I thought it was interesting. So I've been reading a lot about script writing, trying to break out of my writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
And the one of the things that I learned about was the central dramatic question. You know, will Creed beat Drago?
Yeah.
Will, you know, Harry meet Sally, or will Harry and Sally get together at the end of Harry meets, you know, those types of things. What is the question you have to answer about the plot, not so much as the inner character story, mm-hmm. by the end. And something that I thought was interesting was that they have that question posed, and then they're still establishing the stakes of what he could lose before he fights him the first time. But after the question is raised, that's when they find out they're going to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that question of like, what are you going to do? Because these people, you have more at stake now.
Exactly.
So I thought that was interesting and fun. Like, it wasn't trying to cram that in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was really well laid out. I agree.
Yeah, I really like that. Here's something that I thought was interesting. And I want to ask you a question about how you feel this works into the story. So,
okay,
in the first Creed, they established that Bianca has kind of her hearing is getting worse deaf. As she gets older. So, so she's going to be completely deaf at some point.
She was deaf in this movie,
but not completely.
Well,
she has hearing aids.
She had
aids.
The hearing aids, but right, when she had them out of the shower and he was talking right behind her, she didn't hear him at all.
Yeah, I didn't hear him at all.
Yeah, so I thought she was just completely deaf, because I haven't seen the first Creed.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so I didn't know it was like deteriorating. I thought it was just gone.
Yeah, it's kind of a degenerative disease that she has. And so with that, you know, then having the baby be born basically deaf.
That's tough.
So that question became... For me, like, how is that extra motivation for him to win, or how do you feel that worked into the story?
So, with the baby being born and it being deaf, it was kind of at that point of him still trying to answer that question that everyone's asking him: why do you want to fight Drago?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think everything that was happening was almost reshaping him into this just brute fighter, you know, him always having the voice like telling him to get up, move, and swing at whatever's moving. Yeah, you know, his dad, to remove his dad's voice from his head and his own voice kind of take over.
Mm-hmm.
And so he can answer those big internal questions that really none of us know the answers to. And he just did a really good job of taking everything that was happening and turning it into not only his motivation, but also his meaning, you know, for being a fighter still, or, you know. And I think that particularly didn't do much for the story per se, but it just added on to that. There's this struggle, but, and Rocky kind of like rounded it all out at the end. It's like, does she feel bad for herself? So why do you feel bad for her, type of thing?
Right. Yeah.
Of like, I need to take care of me and I need to take care of my family, type of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm still this fighter. I don't know. It's like weird, and it's supposed to have a different interpretation for everybody. That's what movies like this do. You kind of take what works for you,
mm-hmm.
and then it's just like, okay, yeah, that's my motivation.
Right. Yeah.
And because there's all these little things, and it's just, whatever sticks.
Something I thought would have been interesting would be if he had had kind of a private moment with her before the fight or something.
With the baby?
Yeah, yeah, with the baby. And if he had said something like, by the end of tonight, you're going to know your own name because everyone will be cheering so loud you can hear it. You know, something like that, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, at the same time, that would be kind of... I feel like deaf people would be upset about that.
Possibly,
yeah. Yeah. You know? I don't know why, but, like, hearing that, I'm just like, I can see the thumbs up about it, but I can also see the, what's wrong with her not being able to hear, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right, yeah. I guess... I didn't think about it that way. I just thought about, like, a moment between...
It's 2018.
It's true. You gotta... It's the first time I've heard that argument when, oh, yeah, that means we can't say things.
I mean, I'm just kidding. It would have been really cool for them to add on top of it, but I think the only point was to kind of... to add to that redemption story of I have more to fight for, I have more to fight for, I have more to fight for.
And that you shouldn't feel sorry for yourself just because you got dealt a bad hand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's pretty much all it was in just showing up.
Okay, so this series, the Rocky series, and which Creed is an extension of, basically pioneered or popularized or however you want to say this, it basically made the training montage a thing. Yes. I mean, that's Rocky. Like, when you think of Rocky, you go, oh yeah, those awesome training montages.
Yeah, the stairs. Dude, Eye of the Tiger.
How do you rate this training montage?
Dude, it was so good.
Yeah?
It was so, because it was different and like, I don't know if it's because I almost had a heart attack the night before running. But, that's like, right. When he collapsed and got back up, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, I felt it to my core. Because I've been there where it's just, like, I can't move. I don't know if you've... Have you ever worked out that hard?
Yes.
Yeah. Where it's just, like...
I had to go to the kitchen once to get another bag of chips. No, I have.
Go for a run with somebody who can run forever.
Right, yeah.
And when it gets to that point to where it's just, like, they're, like, keep on going, and you're just, like, I can't. And then you hit that second wind, you don't have to collapse, of course, to hit it. But it, like, that's that feeling, it's something you never forget. It's euphoric when your mind goes beyond your body.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And like when that hit,
third bag of chips.
When that hit, when he got back up, and then like jeez. It was sick. That was sick, dude.
That was a great moment. Yeah.
The whole montage was cool, but like that was like the turning point, because before then it was just like, oh, we're doing this, and he's just kind of going through the motions, and then that happens, and then he's owning those workouts. He's like, yeah. I know I'm tired, I know I'm done, but I gotta go. Like, I gotta know what it's like to hit absolute zero in the tank and still keep swinging.
Yeah.
And I was, man, it made me, I just wanted to go.
And it mirrors iron. What he had to do in the fight, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, in the first fight, pretty much that's what happened. He hit zero. He had never, and he went to his natural instincts because he hit zero, so he lost his technique. Yep. And so this was just like, whew, how to do that and keep it, which Rocky was talking about through there.
Right, yeah. So, overall, I think, like, there's some interesting character stuff in here, and I took a notebook with me this week to try and write down notes. Turns out, hard to write in the dark.
Yeah, you need a completely blank piece. You can't have lined paper.
But then I feel like I'll write over something I've already written.
True. Because
I was just using the line to establish a baseline and then try to write straight from that. But Ivan Drago shows up at Adrian's restaurant and is sitting down waiting for Rocky to get there. When Rocky gets there... Also, how's that business still open? There's never anyone in there. But but when he gets there and he sits down, he doesn't sit at the same table as Ivan. He turns a chair around from the next table. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a nice little thing. He's like, we're not at the same place.
Yeah,
this is mine, and you know, you can't make me sit at the same table with you.
Oh, yeah,
because you're a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked that. When Creed decides he's going to take the fight, his first name's Adonis, right?
Yeah, Adonis Creed. That's such a good name.
It is a good name.
God, I hate
it. Just feels weird to say Adonis.
I know, and I hate how it's so good. God, such, like, you need, like, the whole time, Apollo, Adonis, and then Amara, well, not so much Amara, but it's kind of hard to make a girl's like name strong. But it's so important to
It's 2018. How dare you?
True that. True that. But it's so important to give your son just like a strong name. Like it does so much for him. Ah, man. Anyways,
I've talked with my wife many times about like if we have a child, what would its name be? And she wants to come up with all these like unique names and like. But it needs to be strong.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Like, it's all in the name.
Okay, going off of this real quick, but I want to go back to the story with them sitting across from each other. Did you hear about the story of A, B, C, D, E?
Yeah, it's pronounced Absidy. Absidy, yeah.
Yeah, and she got made fun of.
Yeah. It's not the kid's fault.
It's not the kid's fault. You definitely shouldn't be laughing at children.
No.
But, dear Lord.
Why would you do that?
Why? Yeah. And, like, just spell it out Absidy. A-B-S-E-D. You know, just spell it out like an actual name. Why do A-B-C-D-E? That's so dumb. Whoa, it just ignores all of the rules of the English language, and I say it how I want to say it. That's so dumb to me. Ugh.
It frustrates me when, like, parents, the novelty of having a child is more important to them than the actual raising of a child.
Yeah, that poor child.
Like, you've set them up to constantly be having to explain that. So, like, the idea of telling someone who they are and meeting new people becomes a terror.
Yeah, it becomes a hassle, dude. They're going to have such bad anxiety.
Like, I have a hard time just with my name because I guess I just don't pronounce it well enough. And people always think I'm saying Gary.
Oh, hey, Gary.
It's like, no, I'm Garrett.
Garrett. But hey, you don't put much T at the end of yours.
Well, but you can't be like, I'm Garrett.
You need to.
But then I feel like I'm spitting on people's face.
You are. Oh. Do it. Assert your dominance.
Yeah. Garrett.
He's like, wow, guys got some dominance on me. All right. Yeah. Garrett, I got it.
Amara, by the way, means either grace or bitter.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting
go grace. Well, you know, I get the I in all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Or the N.
People can just call you N?
Well, when I say it, I say, my name's Ian. N?
Young?
In? No, Ian. Really? That's a, you know, it's a Scottish name?
I mean, it would help if you didn't, you didn't have the Z in there to make it hard to spell.
the Z silent.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I get it all the time. What? You don't know how much easier my life has been being named Ian opposed to another name that I could have easily been left with. Because my sister's name is LaDietra, but of course she goes by Dietra because normal name. My sister's name, my younger sister's name is Rakira. Beautiful names, by the way. I love their names. Yeah. But it's just like, obviously she goes by Kira. It's just one of those things, you know? What if I was like La-Ian or something like that? It would just be weird to talk to people about it. But when I tell people my name's Ian, they're just like, wow, you know? And I get the, oh, my son's name is Ian. Oh, you know, it's Ian. It's like, okay, cool.
You mean they say, oh, my son's name is Ian?
No. They love to tell me the descent of my name, but none of them are actually Irish or Scottish. Oh, did you know? Yes, I know.
Yes, I know.
But yeah. So give your child a good... My wife wants to give my son, I think, Damon, which isn't a bad name. Wait.
Damon or Damon?
Is it Damien? I don't know what she wants to name him. No, Desmond.
Desmond.
Now, Desmond isn't a bad name. Huh. But I don't know, I just want something more.
I don't know, I feel like that should go in the hashtag I'm not your villain campaign, because Desmond is always a bad guy in
movies. Know, that's what I'm saying. Desmond's always like I've never liked anyone named Desmond. Anyways.
Yeah. Chris is kind of a mixed bag. I've met some Chris's I really like and some Chris's I despise.
Yeah, and that's such a common name too. Yeah. Like, and I hate the stigma that you don't want a common name. But I definitely don't want a Chris.
What's wrong with a good name? Like, you know, that's why it's used.
Exactly.
And then people will know how to spell it, so you don't have to constantly be spelling your name. Like, people always spell my name with one R or one T, but I have two R's and two T's.
Two R's, two T's, yeah.
So that's just, I mean, I love my mom and my parents. I guess they wanted me to have a longer name, but we couldn't afford extra letters, so they just repeated some of the ones we had. But
another R. Are you sure?
Yeah. We've got them lying around. Just throw them in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, it's... names are important. They are. Look up the meaning of names before you name your child that. That's definitely also another thing.
Definitely.
Like, you'd be surprised how many... I went and I was working on this script the other day, and I just looked up names that meant, like, bitter or sadness or things like that, because that's who the character was.
Exactly, so you want to just personify it. Because that's what names do. They personify who they embody.
There's life and death in the tongue, man.
Exactly. True that. Anyways.
Especially if you're spitting poison. Or these sick rhymes. I'm just kidding. I wasn't going to do it. All right. Weren't we talked about a movie?
Yeah. Yeah. Back to Across the Table. Super quick. I like how Rocky was cordial.
Yeah.
When he definitely didn't have to be.
That's just who Rocky is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've never seen the Rocky movie when old school Creed dies. I'm assuming it's off of a bad shot, or like maybe the round's over, or maybe he's... Is it legal?
My memory's a little fuzzy, but... I mean, Drago doesn't go to prison or anything for doing it.
Exactly. Which
but,
he wouldn't.
But he like, does go too far.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And similar to Drago in this movie, right?
Yes.
Probably not as illegal, but, you know, just as when people say, really, dude? So, anyways, he was cordial. I like that. I liked how the back and forth happened, and I was getting a Cobra Kai vibe out of this.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, for those of you who don't know, Cobra Kai is the story of... The other guy in Karate Kid, the quote-unquote bad guy in Karate Kid, which has been debunked many a times that Karate Kid is actually the bad guy in that movie. And even though we all know Drago's the bad guy, but you got to see a little bit of the aftermath, like, of how it affected him, and it almost adds some human aspects to this monster.
Right,
and
yeah.
I love that. I love when they actually make you feel, even for the bad guy sometimes.
Yeah, and that was something I wrote down. Like, even though you may not be on Drago's side, you get where he's coming from.
Yeah,
and you get, like, you know, the fact that his wife left him, and his son, he was shamed by his entire country, and, you know, things like that. I was like, okay, like, I get why this is so important to you. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get invested in, like, will they get that fixed? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, Drago's kind of a monster, but he's a monster because of where he came from.
Exactly.
If you want more evidence on my theory that communism is bad for people.
Is Russia communist?
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I forget.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean,
they basically are the poster child for communism.
Okay. There you go, Russia.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So he knocked him out in the second round. I looked this up. Drago knocked Creed out in the second round in Rocky IV. And yeah, it killed him when he hit him. So,
okay.
So could, legal, but.
Yeah.
You know.
They showed a flashback. Mm-hmm. And what I saw from it, Creed didn't want to go down. And he put his back to the ropes, but he had his guard down, and Drago kept on swinging.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. So that's what I saw from the little flashback from this movie. Like when Adonis, or what's his name? Apollo? Creed
Adonis.
2.
Adonis.
Adonis was watching the newsreel of
Let's
it.
Let's just call him Creed 2 from now on. Yeah, when Creed 2 was watching the newsreel. Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. So that's something I wanted to point out. There's not a lot of, like, people using cell phones in this or basically any movies we've watched this year.
No.
You know, there are people who use them as, like, okay, I hacked a security camera and then it's off, like, mm-hmm. in Black Panther.
They keep them out of
yeah.
them.
Yeah. If you want to write a better movie, get rid of cell phones. Have an excuse or just don't even bring them up. We yeah. won't think about it and we'll be glad you didn't.
Yeah. It's something you almost don't notice, but it's a nice touch.
Yeah. And yeah. when you think about, like, you know, a cell phone can solve X and Y problems, you know, like, oh, why would you need to chase them down at the airport if you can just call them and be like, I love you, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
You know, I'm coming to get you, please don't get on the plane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, you'd rather have a chase down.
Cell phones ruin everything.
So does the internet.
Especially since people can make memes on them.
Whoa.
Whoa. Memes are the worst.
Are they?
Yes.
I'm about to make my iPad Pro my webcam.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I want the 4K 60.
Mm-hmm. You can do that on an iPad Pro.
Can't yours?
Well, I mean, oh, you're using the rear camera.
Yeah, use the rear camera.
It's still super compressed. It won't matter.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
I'm going to find out because there's a free way to do it. I was like, really?
Yeah. Hmm. I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks. I might have a super nice camera by the end of the day.
We might end up doing video on this podcast and setting up like a three camera thing and switching it. But
I've been seeing people podcast on Twitch and it's actually pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I need to look into it. People will make fun of our Blue Yetis.
You could check it out. No one makes fun of the Blue Yetis. People use crap all the time. Yeah, like I see people using headphone mics. Who's the guy that made Epic Rap Battles of History?
I can't remember his name.
Epic Lloyd and Ray William Johnson do a podcast.
Oh really?
Yeah, and like it they do a pretty good job. They don't get like the most views compared to like Epic Rap Battles of History and Ray William Johnson skits. But like they don't use like crazy mics and like the webcam quality is like crap. But you know,
and I mean our audio is not totally terrible.
Oh no, our audio is solid.
My voice is bad.
But like you do a good job on this.
I tried really really hard 1 week and then figured it out and I just drag a preset onto it now. Yeah, but should we talk about the movie?
I feel like we've what else you got?
Yeah, is there other stuff that you can remember like? Really liking. I really like Tessa Thompson.
Yeah, the only thing, only other thing I talked about is the characters. I really enjoyed the D. What was her name? Did the D B relationship?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed, even though I hated it in this movie, because it's almost unnatural. Because they try to, you can always kind of tell when they're like, just say it a little bit more like. You know, ghetto, you know, type of thing. They got that ghetto vibe going a lot of times, and then sometimes you get them and they're like super proper, and you're like, okay, I can see this. And then like when they're together alone, they get that kind of that vibe going, which is totally cool. It felt a little forced sometimes, especially when Adonis and Rocky were talking. Sometimes it was like proper. Sometimes he'd like go hood on him.
Yeah.
but besides that, like just the D&B relationship. Super solid, and like I felt it the whole time through. That she did a really good job, and something about her nails, and like I'm usually not a fan of long nails, but she rocked those things.
She really used them.
It put her character just like all together. Like when she like had her nails and she put in her ears, like I was like, wow. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it was kind like enchanting.
It was kind of interesting to see like how she had them, and like she had to not use her fingers like I would, you know, because I don't have long nails. To put in the headphones and stuff. Yeah.
She looks so comfy with them too. I was like, wow. She's like, you rocking those things, girl. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. That was sick.
I don't think there's bad performances in this. I think there's one spot where Michael B. Jordan, like, and this is a thing this is how Michael B. Jordan is. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm not ragging on him or anything, but he does this thing where he looks someone straight in the eye and like moves his head back and forth a little bit. And like that, I don't know, that took me out of it a couple of times. Where it's just like, that doesn't feel natural to me, but that's just, I think that's just him.
Yeah.
And so
that's his like vibrato coming out.
Right.
Or him reminding himself to put his vibrato out.
Right.
Like to pull it out. Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing. Like there were a couple of scenes in Black Panther where that took me out of the moment. I was like, this doesn't make sense. Like this much vibrato at this moment.
Hey, he was an angry dude, okay?
Well, that's true, yeah. you know, and I've if I didn't say it when we reviewed Black Panther, I'll say it now. I may be wrong, but there were some moments of his performance I was just like, I'm not totally on board with this. And that's just me.
That was me the first time I watched it. The third time I watched it, don't ask me why I've watched it three times. I don't know, and I know this isn't about Black Panther, but when you just start to feel his hate,
yeah,
it's just like, oh yeah, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah,
like I would be over the top and just killing everybody.
That's yeah, there is.
That. I would kill everybody, but that's just me.
I mean, if you're gonna be a mass murderer, that's fine. Just don't do it on this show.
But, I feel like he took it easy on him.
But yeah, no, I think overall they do a lot of good character stuff. There's maybe some kind of shaky ground when we go back to Russia and we see Ivan and Victor having dinner with all those, you know, Russian diplomats or whatever.
Yeah.
And his mother comes in, and it felt weak when he stormed out, but it kind of felt a little better when he was sitting there going, these are the people who abandoned us. Yeah, why are you so worried about this?
It's just weird to see a big guy like that throw a tantrum, like walking out like that.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I think that's it. He's just like, really, dude? Just punch somebody.
You mean like Michael B. Jordan was in all of Black Panther?
He wasn't. He's not that big though. He's the same size as everybody else.
All right, justify it however you want. But
I mean, like, he's not Drago big, but Drago, this huge man getting out of this little tiny chair and being like, "Cool," and like walking out, and everyone just being like, "Wow, that was awkward."
Yeah,
you know.
I think if I could wish for anything in this movie, I would wish for a little bit more development of Drago and like what he was dealing with. And I know that sounds kind of like, well, the movie's not about him.
Yeah.
Right. But like, but then they want to connect you with them in those small scenes.
Yeah.
And
a lot of small scenes.
I wish there had been just a little bit more of that. Like, this movie's not too long for what it is. Like,
no.
The pacing is really good and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe there was more of that originally and they cut it down for time.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like they did, but. But I think I would have liked to see a little bit more of that, because the parts that they had did a good job of humanizing them, and so a little bit more of that would have made that last fight a little bit more tense, even though it was already incredibly tense. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying, you know, in a perfect world, a little bit more of that would have been fun.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think it had a perfect amount.
Okay.
But it wasn't as noticeable. Everything about Drago, whenever they cut to him, you just had to look in his eyes. You could always tell where his headspace was if you just looked in his eyes, especially in the last fight too. But throughout the whole movie, it goes from intense to soft to almost fearful to sad to intense again to furious, and like he barely has any lines, but he says so much. Not with his body language, but like, it's literally all right here. And every time he came on screen, that's all I looked at.
Yeah.
That's all I looked at. And I was like, wow. Like, even when he was like training the second time around at the nice gym, like, you can kind of see how he looked up and like looked down. It was all there. It was all there.
I should watch this again and see if I catch more.
If you watch it again, just like every time he comes on the screen, right there.
Okay.
And when he looks at his dad, when he looks at his mom, when he looks at Creed, you even see how his face changes towards Creed throughout the movie. It's weird.
I should definitely watch it again and see if I catch more of that. Because a lot of the time I just looked at him and was like, yep, he's angry.
No, yeah. The whole thing with him, from what I got, is like everything's about, or a lot of it's about his mom.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and it's just, what if something reminds him of her, or if his dad says something about her, or especially if she's in the room, like his whole demeanor, he's almost like a kid.
Yeah.
Like you just see it. He's just, I don't know.
One of my favorite moments in this movie is when that scene in the hallway where he's like, these are people who shunned us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's arguing that, and his dad just yells at him, "I lost."
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the only time you see him get emotional.
Yep.
And he said, "But you won't." It was like, oh, that hurt. That hurt to see.
That was such a man move. Like, just taking responsibility. Like, because it would be so easy
while
to
at the
blame.
Same time somehow managing to pass that responsibility on to your child.
Son, right? Yeah. It would be so easy to say, my wife, screw her. My country, screw her. Everything, screw her. But he still has all of this love for his wife, his country, the sport, everything.
Yep.
And he just, that self-loathing.
He just wants to win it back.
Yeah, and went to himself, and that's how he's expressing it towards his son, to win it back, to kind of get through that.
Yeah.
And you see it with him in the last fight, too. He kind of goes between this, do I accept what I have, or do I keep trying to win back what I lost?
Right, yeah.
Like, right there at the end, you see him go back and forth, especially when his wife leaves the last time. It's just, He's good at taking responsibility. Like that's a man right there.
Yeah,
Russian man, but man nonetheless.
Yeah. No, I really do like this movie though. I think it's
It's solid. It's such a guy movie.
Yeah.
Like I just want to watch it and just like go work out.
But I do think that this is like, look, if you're a dad and you've got a son, and you could take them to see The Grinch, take them to see this instead.
Yeah. This is a totally okay movie.
Yeah,
for young kids.
I also appreciate how they, when they get engaged, they did the old movie trick of like, okay, we know what they're going to do, so we're going to pan away to the city behind them.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, I didn't need to see any of that crap.
We got to see a little bit of Michael B. Jordan shirtless, and then we're gone.
and that's all you need.
Mm-hmm. That's what we paid for.
I'm still, hashtag no sex in movies. All right. I guess that means we can probably say, look, unless you got anything else, I'm gonna stick with great. I think I'm gonna go with that.
I wish I could do good and a half.
Yeah,
but I like, if I had to pick one, just because like I want this movie to do like to do more, maybe great.
Yeah,
yeah.
I really, it was a movie that made me go, ah, movies can just be encouraging and show the triumph of the human spirit, and it doesn't have to be super, super horrible, everything you see on screen. So, yeah,
doesn't have to be horrible to have, like, some kind of ulterior motive.
Yeah. Also, I like the stuff where he's in the pool.
Yeah, it looked a little weird, but it was cool.
I liked when he was in the bottom and he screamed. It was like,
yeah, that was good. Like, the rehabilitation. I was talking about when he was training underwater. That's when it was awkward for me.
Oh, yeah. The sound design, when it's like you hear Felicia Rashad and she's talking about like how he needs to heal from the inside. When he goes underwater, yeah, she gets kind of muffled and he comes up. That was cool. And like also the sound design where they would, when they hit their gloves together, like
that. Oh, that was so.
It's always so crunchy. I loved it.
That would make me flinch, dude. Imagine someone doing that right in front of you, like,
yeah.
I would flinch.
Super intimidating.
Man, such good. And then they had the remixes of the old Rocky songs.
Yeah, they were in the last fight. It wasn't like overpowering, but it was in there.
It was in there, and like it was like more of like a hip version of it, obviously, because you know Michael B. Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just had that like that hint of doo doo doo. Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah, I do feel like these movies are starting to establish kind of a identity of their own apart from the Rocky movies.
Yeah, which is good.
Where the first one had to be really transitional and have more of those elements in there. And this one, you know, it's about making your own legacy and not letting the thing that, you know, where you came from define who you are. So yeah, I'm excited to see another one of these. I mean, Victor is not dead. He's, you know, and they show him still training with his dad at the end. So
he goes right back.
He
to
could
it.
Come back.
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd want to see more Drago.
Not necessarily.
He'd be a cool, you know, character to be in the movie, I suppose. But I definitely want to see other stuff.
I think it'd be interesting to see like a relationship form maybe between Victor and Adonis if he left Ukraine and came over and said, you know, I've seen how you stepped out of your father's shadow and I need to do the same. Mm-hmm. So I will help you with this next fight. And kind of seeing like them, you know, build the bridge where there was before just a hurricane smashing waters up against the bridge that were broken from before.
Yeah. Like,
that wasn't my best analogy. I'll be honest with you.
That's okay.
But you know, like I think that maybe could be an interesting turn for a character that wouldn't lead, you know, and him stepping in to train him and say, you know, this next guy, you're going to have to be brutal in a way that you haven't been before.
Which I don't know how it gets more brutal than that.
They always do it. I don't know.
They make it happen. Which, within one movie, it can always make a guy seem unstoppable.
Right, yeah. 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 It's a self-contained little experience, which is why I love movies.
Me too. One last thing.
Okay.
When he's at the grave talking to his dad, that's one thing I kind of like about movies like this, because us as humans, especially in like situations like that, like going to a grave talking to your dad, you never really know what to say.
Yeah.
And you never really know what to do, like, when you have really tough choices. But I love movies like this where it's just someone who doesn't quite have all the answers, but he just, like, puts one foot in front of the other and just keeps on going. I love stuff like that because it's just like, yeah, I don't have all the answers. Yeah, I don't know exactly what's going on. Yeah, I don't even know what to say, but I'm going to say it.
Right.
I'm going to do it, and I'm going to keep on moving forward. And, like, that's just, like, that's what gets me through the day, you know? I just like stuff like that because it's just like, you know what? They can do it. It's a movie, but why can't I?
Right, yeah.
I don't have to have the answers to everything. That's like my thing.
I'd settle for the answers to anything.
I'm happy, okay? Like, I'm super happy with the answers to nothing.
Huh.
That's the point I'm at now.
I'm sure I'll get there at some point. But as of right now, I'm just wondering, why can't Dr. Pepper be good for me?
Oh, you're heading down a bad road.
Why can't it? All right, so I guess that brings us to the end of this episode of Roll Sound. Thank you for listening. There's another one right after this. They're releasing at the same time if you want to listen to it. So
back to back, Roll Sound.
So if you want more of us in your ears, that's how you do it. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, @RollSoundPod. You can email us, rollsoundpod@gmail.com. Coming up in January, still open slots. We need to find some interesting movies that maybe some people haven't seen that deserve to be seen. So send us your suggestions. What would you like to see us talk about?
Suggestions.
Make sure you drop us a review on iTunes. Helps us find a larger audience. Make sure you do that, and then there'll be happiness.
Yeah. That it? Any last words?
Pumpernickel.
What is that?
It's a type of bread.
You're right.
Yeah. It's time to say goodbye like a goat.
Goodbye for now.